Ragapole bared his gold-plated teeth in a wolfish grin.
Shall I prove it to you, blowfly?
The rat sobbed brokenly.
Don't do it, Cap'n Ball, please. No beast ever lived after you hit him with your sword.
The captain's pale eyes lighted on Glimbo.
You should know, mate. Tell him.
Glimbo loved life too much to remain silent. Words poured from his mouth like running water.
That striped dog skin beast must have carried him off for a fancy burying. I bet they buried the old one where he fell, because they couldn't haul two carcasses. Mark me words, Blowfly. It don't matter how big the striped dog was. He's deader than any doornail now. Once Cap'n Ball's sword swipes them, they're well slayed. I'd take me affidavit on it.
Blowfly fell to the ground as the hook pulled loose from his belt. Ball grounded the scimitar and leaned on it.
There's your answer, mate. The striped dog's dead. I don't want to hear no more talk of such beasts from my crew. Now, set four guards around me so I can sleep.
The sentries crouched miserably in the darkness, waiting for the dawn. Wrapped in his cloak, Ragabowl lay alongside a roaring fire. But sleep did not come easily, and when it did, his dreams were troubled by visions of the giant striped dog coming slowly but surely after him with the light of vengeance burning in his eyes. Abrook the sea otter, his wife Marinu, and their son Stug sat on the stream side beneath an overhanging bank canopy. They enjoyed their evening meal outside, away from the bustling noise of the halt. Stug sucked noisily at the contents of his bowl. Abrook patted his stomach and winked at the young creature.
Now that's what I calls a sea otter chowder. No beast can make it like your mama does, ain't that right, me heart?
Marinu refilled her husband's bowl.
I wager you used to say that about your own mama's chowder. All it takes is clams, mussels and shrimps with some beans, chestnut flour, seaweed, carrots and a few pawfuls of sea salt and hot root pepper. Too simple to cook up.
Young Stug held out his bowl for a refill.
But you make it the best, because you're our mama.
Marinu dipped her ladle into the pot they had brought out.
You'll soon be as big a flatterer as your dad. Wipe that chin, you got chowder all over it.
Abrook looked over the rim of his bowl at Marinu.
So, how are you and old sort getting along with our big badger? Do you reckon he'll live?
Marinu wiped Stug's chin with her apron hem as she spoke.
It looks like he will, though whether or not he'll waken fully, we don't know. He might just fade away after one of those death sleeps that last a few seasons. I never thought any beast could be so deeply wounded and live. Sork used fish glue to mend his skull bone. When that was all clean and set, I used long hairs from his own back. This thread to stitch the skin back over. We set lots of spider web over it all, give it a few days, then we'll wash it gently with valerian and senecal to deaden any pain. Sure, Dog says he'll have to be moved to the old cave or it'll be quieter. We'll make him a big bed of silver sand and moss.
Abrook nodded.
That should help. I'll keep a warm fire of pine and sweet herbs burning there, night and day.
Marinu rose.
I'm going back inside. Sork wants to borrow some of the broth off in my chowder to feed him. A hard task with such a big beast who's still senseless.
When she had gone inside, Abrook and Stug finished off the remaining food. The young otter sat watching his father attach a slim line from the end of his rudder to a thick root growing from the bankside. Abrook took a chunk of beeswax and began rubbing it into several more loose lines of tough flaxen fibre. The sea otter eyed his young son.
Shouldn't you be after your bed? It's getting late.
Stug rubbed some of the beeswax on his paw curiously.
What are you doing with that stuff, father?
Abrook explained as he worked.
I'm making a bowstring, a good stout one that won't rot or break under strain.
Young Stug pursued his inquiries.
What are you be wanting a bowstring for, father?
Abrook answered patiently.
Ain't for me. It's for our big badger. I've got a feeling he'll be well again some day. When the time comes, he'll be leaving us to go westward.
Stug persisted.
Well, is a bowstring good to go westward with?
His father began deftly plying the waxed fibres together.
Aye, son. That big fella's an archer. He'll have to find himself the right wood to make a new bow, but the least I can do is to plait him a proper bowstring. then he'll be well armed to settle up with the vermin who tried to slay him and murdered his old friend.
Stug nodded.
I bet they'll be sorry then.
Abrook stopped working momentarily.
Sorry ain't the word, young'un. When a badger goes after his enemies, there ain't no place they can run or hide from him. I'll wager our big beast will come down on him with the blood wrath.
Unfamiliar with this strange word, Stug posed a new question.
What's a blood wrath, Farder?
Abrook shook his head decisively.
Blood wrath is terrible. Something you don't ever want to see or know about. Go on now. Off to bed with you, me son.